cliffcentral.com. Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com.
It's Thursday, Luby. How are you doing?
I love that song. It's a great pick-me-up song. I've had a great morning. It's going to be a very, very, very good weekend, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But I'm great to be on Future CEOs again. What's up, babe?
I'm feeling good. I always feel good when you walk in and you're looking so good. Thanks, Kirsten, for borrowing us your lovely wife once again, and week in and week out on Future CEOs. We love it. All right, so welcome to the show, everyone. If you are a young up-and-coming entrepreneur, or perhaps you're one of those individuals that is sitting in someone else's business, but you've got your eye on the corner office and you're saying, I'm going to run this place one day, well, then you're a future CEO. So what do we do here on the show? We try and bridge gaps. We try and bring in people that you can relate to, sometimes people that you look up to, and we talk to them about their journeys. Why? Because their journeys are often a reflection of your journey. And so welcome to Future CEOs, if this is the first time that you are joining us. Welcome back to Future CEOs, if you're not. Luby, was that good? Was that okay?
Honey, I could listen to your sultry voice all day.
That's the right answer.
That's my founder. That's the founder. But I hope that people know that by trade I'm an actress, and I'm an aspiring filmmaker. So I think what better place to hone in my passion, which is what entrepreneurship is all about, and make it into a business and make it that something that works for me. So without any further ado, this week will be the beginning of the first ever Red Bull Amapiko Film Fest. And what I love about it, it's about mentorship. It's about upskilling. It's about creating spaces where aspiring filmmakers from here, there, and everywhere can really showcase their talents. And without any further ado, let me introduce Surprise.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to Future CEOs.
Feel welcome. Thank you, guys.
Good.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, cool. My name is Surprise Ngwenya.
Yes.
Straight up from Enasporti, Nelspruit. A place called Ngodini, which is a small location there in Nelspruit. And I grew up there since I was born. Temba Hospital, born in the same neighborhood. And found myself living there till I was 10, and then I moved. Moved around with my mom as she was like a single parent trying to make it, you know.
Mm.
And ended up in Pretoria, where I did the rest of my primary school from like grade 6 till high school, that I did at Pretoria Boys High. And I finished that, and now I'm here in Johannesburg trying to pursue this dream that is filmmaking.
Where did it all start, though? So I mean, you've given us a really nice summary. Did it start when you were back home? Was it only in high school that this idea of filmmaking suddenly started to take root and hold? Were you watching a movie that it happened? Tell us the story, please.
It all starts with television. You know, it all starts with, growing up eKasi, having a TV was like the main thing, you know. we all sit around at 8 o'clock, big generations, you know what I mean? And that's how it goes. A tale starts at my house where I was like young, and there was a box at the television, and I couldn't wait to see what was in the box because it was the main subject. So I went to try physically look, and the whole family laughed at me.
All right.
And I think at that point I wanted to know how it was all done, like how come there's a box and I can't see what happens behind the TV, you know? Like really, you check behind the TV to see if there's people there, you know? And then the whole I want to make film starts there as a kid.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't help think of Zooland. that scene where he's talking about the Center for Ants. And anyway. It's a fascinating story that you have introduced here, because how many people can relate to that? How many of us as young people, we did exactly the same thing? We went to this box and what the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
Of course, young people, some of the younger people of today wouldn't necessarily do that. Why? Because it's a flat screen TV.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where it all started. But then when did it start in earnest then for you? So that was the beginning. That's the root.
That's the beginning. That's where you're interested in the whole thing. And then as I go like different places, because I moved from Nelspruit, lived in Leidenburg, find myself in the school plays all the time, or dancing, or just always entertaining people, you know? And I was good at it, it seems, because the next season, they'd always call me back. And I did that in every primary school until even high school, where I got my full colors in dramatics.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay, very interesting. Now, we were almost quite concerned that our other guest wasn't going to arrive.
I'm so happy.
She has arrived.
Also, what an entrance.
Welcome to studio.
Thank you. This is not CEO behavior.
We know that, you know, taking time out to come just share your experience and your expertise is a lot to ask for. So we're happy, whatever time we have left with you, Gareth.
Would you like to just introduce yourself a little bit, please? And just I guess the question is, why should we be listening to you when we talk about film?
You really should not be listening. My name is Lodi Mazzadella, and I'll be facilitating a workshop on Saturday at the Amapigo Festival. And I've been in the industry for a couple of years.
A couple.
It sounds like you're being quite humble here.
No, I'm not. Because I guess from your own perspective, you see you see what you wanted to have accomplished in the years that you have, and then what you managed, and then very
Well, welcome. We're very glad
Thank
to have
and I
you.
I apologize.
No. We're very happy to have you here. I guess what we're doing is, in this conversation, we really do need to speak to those budding filmmakers out there who would have loved to have been part of the Red Bull Amapico Film Fest, but they unfortunately haven't been able to. And let's sow the business into it all, because it's a struggle, isn't it? Luby, this is really your domain. You've been in this industry for many, many years.
Of course,
I wasn't back in the day watching Generations.
Yeah, you should
have
been watching Isidingo, my man.
There we go, Isidingo.
Come on.
But we watched it all, because half past six and then the other half.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a bit of a struggle sometimes.
I think why I love festivals as such, whereby it's the experts and mentorship and aspiring filmmakers all coming to the ground to showcase work. And as somebody who's been in the industry a while, Lodi, there's always room to learn. There's always space to find yourself where you can navigate next. Mm. I mean, surprise from an actress, I want to write script right. You know, I want to create business plans. That's why I'm definitely be at your workshop. So for entrepreneurs, it's so important to feel and to believe and take part in your passion and make it a business so that it can have longevity and staying power. But beyond that, why are you so passionate about the Amapigo Film Fest, Lundin? Why are you so involved?
I never thought I would be a teacher or even have anything to impart. I can't remember when I did my first workshop and I loved it so much. I mean, I always preface my workshops with, I don't know everything, but everything that I do know, I will share with whoever's there. And I encourage them, those that, there's, you know, film school is a luxury. So not everybody's going to be able to go to film school. So I always encourage the young filmmakers or those that are present to go to every single workshop that they can.
Yes.
Even if you're only going to learn one thing, it may feel repetitive. But even if you get one more thing from that workshop, that's enough. And then a lot of it is practical. Film is practical. You actually have to do in order to learn. And so, I mean, I didn't study film. I just recently studied film.
Tell us a little bit about your education in this space.
I just graduated with a master's in filmmaking from Howard University in Washington,
D.C. Oh, wow.
DC.
Yeah.
Come on.
Howard's a good school.
Is it a good school, Gareth?
Congratulations.
Is it good, Gareth?
And that was after like 8 years of being in the industry. So I know for sure that this master's is not what made me a filmmaker, but rather it gave me the space to figure out what kind of filmmaker I wanted to be. Because up until that point, I felt like I was just doing and creating content, but never really thinking about what the power of film is and what it is I can achieve.
That
it is beyond creating entertainment.
Love that.
And that is a luxury. But that's also one of the things I impart, is let's think about why. Why is it that we, you know, a lot of us want to make, Furious, Fast and Furious, and like franchise.
Yeah.
A lot of people get into it. They want to do the next Jason Bourne films, you know. And it's like, well, let's think about it. We're not necessarily Hollywood, so what can you do within this particular industry?
So I'm going to jump in here because there's something that you said, and I don't want to forget it. And surprise, this is where you're going to have to come in and just share some of your journey with us.
Okay.
But not everyone can pick up a camera and go out and do this. So there's two sides to this. First, there's a technical side where actually you need a camera in the first place, a decent perhaps camera, but then also you need the talent. So let's go technical very quickly. How have you dealt with the technical requirements of being in this industry where cameras can set you back hundreds of thousands of rand.
And just to clarify that, lovely, you want to be a director of photography, DOP.
DOP. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, in that situation, that's probably one of the reasons why it's moving so slow, because saving up for that is what I'm currently doing, you know. I found myself at some point, like, not being able to make anything because I don't have anything. Like, now I have a camera, luckily, but my lens is not the best, so
sure.
I need to only shoot during the day because that's the most light, because I don't have light, you know. So, and for that is, you have to find alternative ways. Like, currently I work at the mall, you know, at the van store, and I'm... That's how I save up for these things.
And I love that. I love that, because that's often the root of entrepreneurship, is not this
correct.
Idea that you're going to go into this business and you get massive amounts of money. You have to bootstrap your way through. You have to,
yes.
you have to do the side job, or rather do the side business or side passion,
yeah.
And you have to work your way through it. I like it a lot. But just one last question.
Yeah.
Let's go back. When did you first pick up a camera, and what camera was that, and how did you actually get to explore it? Because that's half the problem, isn't it? You can't express yourself unless you actually have something in your hands that you can express yourself through.
So first time, like, picking up a camera, like, just to take pictures is at home, obviously, back in the day, just snapping away, you know? But officially, and it being something that you needed to focus on, was at school. I mean, I went to AFDA because I was acting all the time. I thought I wanted to be an actor. But when I got in there and saw the technical part of it and how...
Loved it.
And how I just want to be all-rounded and understand the whole thing, and picking up the camera, especially the friends I was with at the time, they were so passionate about, you know, shooting in the most awkward situations, getting that angle, and that passion around me became like what drove me to want to pick up the camera.
Mm.
And my whole crew was a camera crew, and we just hung out and talked about images and watched movies, and you know what I mean? Like, that's how it all began.
Louis?
At AFDA.
Lodi, you know, with... kids of this experience, not even kids. I mean, I'm going there to learn what I can learn and to pick up what I can pick up. And can I tell you something? Is that I spend half my time at workshops, which are for free. I'm a Pico Film Fest, anything, any film festival I am at doing. And it's about networking as well, which is so important. And that's what also the I'm a Pico Film Fest is all about. You're going to meet peers. You're going to meet industry specialists. You're going to meet mentors who are going to guide you about your craft and about your potential in the industry. Mm-hmm. How important is mentorship in this business? And skills training, Lodi?
Well, because it's traditionally in Hollywood, right? It's something like apprenticing. You become an apprentice. If you want to be a DOP, you start in the camera department, from just being a runner to cable bashing to even maybe slating, until you work your way up. And I think that's the best kind of training, because you really, really learn. And my first experience in a film, I got to sit right next to the director as well as the script supervisor. And I was what they call language something something. It was, you know, when everybody spoke in English and then in vernac kind of thing.
That tone that you heard were the inverted commas that were going on here.
But it gave me a position. It gave me a job. And I was so lucky to be where the heart of the machine is, to follow the director around. And so a lot of it is just getting on set. I mean, there's a term in the industry to get in the room. Sometimes it's get on the set.
Yeah.
Get in the room, network, hustle, hustle, hustle. Be the person who's like, hey, remember we met at Amapico?
Yeah.
You working on anything? Can I come cable bash? Can I come for one day in cable bash? Then you better impress. Because that's my business partners and I, Vincent Muloy and Makhanu Mambabula, are all about whoever we can help.
So tell us about your business. What is it called?
Puapua Productions.
Puapua Productions,
yes.
Okay.
And sometimes we will take on people that disappoint us. You know, you bring them on and you're like, you want to say, you don't understand how lucky you are because you're so close to us. It's a small production company. When we're pitching and writing proposals, you are right there. If you are at a large production company, you will not know how to even make a budget until you move up to maybe production coordinator. Then the line producer brings you close. You might understand. And so sometimes you get disappointed, but sometimes you get people that just soar. You know, and they have that in them. So you're just facilitating something that's already there. And so it's all about giving back, because, like I said, I didn't study film. So I needed people that would give me an opportunity. Roberta Durant of Penguin Films gave me the opportunity. I said, I want to write. And then she said, write something. And I wrote something and sent it. And then she said, okay, come down to Cape Town. And then we brainstormed, what was it, Home Affairs. And that was like my first experience. And I said,
amen.
I said, how did I get that? She said, because I asked you to write something and you actually wrote something and sent it through.
And that's the, and I'm so glad you almost.
What a wrap up, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Got to that point because I really dislike this idea, and we spoke about it with Tandor
from Sun Goddess,
where he spoke about also giving someone an opportunity and they don't take full advantage of it. Why? Because they think, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but sometimes they think that they are entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you got to work damn hard. You got to go and bleed a little. Doing... what's the board thing?
That you're doing slating.
Slating.
Yeah.
I think that's the only job I'd probably be able to do. But you have to go out and sweat a little. Am I right, Surprise?
Yep, you're right. And through sweating, that's where you learn the most things, you know, because you learn that sometimes you land up in the wrong set, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to be on set so bad, you land up in the wrong set. That can kill your ego. That could make, you know what I mean, make you not even want to be part of this.
That's
anymore.
Interesting. You could be on the wrong set.
Yeah, you can.
Well said.
And then you could also be chasing the wrong things, like always trying to make the money because you got to eat or whatever. But I realized recently that it's not about the money. Like, forget that, you know?
Yeah, look, you can survive on bare minimum for...
That's what I'm learning to do now.
Yeah. The money will come.
Now I'm learning to just live on the most basic way I can, you know? Like, taking advantage of situations, like... You know, I'm at the mall most of the time. I mean, I can't afford fragrance, but I go get the sample, you know?
You know
like little
you know.
Things like that, you know?
You know.
Saving that money that I could have used then to like get a lens or something.
And this is called the hustle.
That's it.
Too many people think that the hustle is this cool, sexy thing. But
it's not cool and sexy.
This is the hustle.
Hey, Londi, it's not cool and sexy.
The first time the Home Affairs set was, I mean, you talk about blood, sweat and tears. I got addicted to Red Bull. But it got me through like these 18-hour days sometimes where I was like, I'm watching these people like just working, like they just keep going, and I'm
turnover like, time, turnover time.
How are
time.
You guys gonna manage? Like, I don't, and there I am, like, right by the VT, and I'm like just keeping awake. But everybody's going, they're like, because this is their love. And then you learn that, well, if you love something, you will find that energy.
It and they introduced you to
ass.
A can,
yes.
Yeah, that blue can of gold, certainly when you're after 18 hours, right?
Yeah, so that the hustle is real, you just have to work your butt off.
Surprise, what do you want to get out of the next 3 days?
Oh, I'm so excited for the next 3 days. I don't know what to expect. We have a group, Red Bull group, and it's very, they give you stuff, but it's very limited as to what they're giving us, what's going to happen. So I'm excited to meet people. I'm excited to learn from Lebo. Lebo is one of the guys that made the film, and I look up to him. I see him all the time on the streets in Bram and in Sandton. So I'm looking forward to get guys like him and his peers and learn from them, you know. I'm looking forward to learning new things as well, what I can implement, and meeting new guys like that are in the same level. Because the one thing you know in this industry, you can't do it alone, you know. Some point I thought I could, but someone has to hold the boom, you know.
You have
and
to
someone
create
has to do the clap.
A filmic family.
Yeah,
basically.
You have to have a family, someone on the same level that won't pressurize you to come up with something that's going to make money fast, you know. Someone that's going to understand the little failures, you know, the little mishaps with the sound when it doesn't go right, you know. No pressure. You just need a zen space with the people that you meet.
When did you realize that? So at some point, your ego came into contact with a very, very hard brick wall.
Yeah, this year.
Oh, this year. Okay.
Yeah,
just talk us through
happened.
One or two experiences.
To a point where, look, it all starts with like, it was all the money thing with me. It was like, I needed to make as much money as I can, you know. Any opportunity that opened, I needed to take it. And then you find yourself taking too many things, trying to be Superman.
Or things that really...
You know, you don't want to do, but you just got to do them because you
know.
Think you should do them, you know.
I know that feeling.
And,
yo.
And then the minute that gets too hectic, you say stop, and then you get hungry now.
So can I quickly ask, is it the money thing or is it the idea that what you can do with the money? Is it trying to display something to those around you?
It's, okay. It's trying to show that you made the right decision to everyone that doubted
justified,
you know
huh?
what I mean?
Yep.
Especially straight out of varsity, you're trying to be like, yo, this was the right decision. Look, I'm making so much money. But then you realize with the money that you chase, the art dies a little bit. So
no, the art, like, it's so well decimated.
Yeah. So you need to bring the art first, you know. That, you know, when I say you struggle for it, you need to struggle for it. Mm. You need to feel that you're struggling for it.
Yeah.
I just feel that sometimes it's such a, it's a long, hard road.
It is.
It's and sometimes it can be lonely, as entrepreneurship is all about, Gareth Armstrong.
Yeah, it is.
Because sometimes you're like, people are not on your side. People don't want to be on your side. You don't want to be on any.
And sorry, can I jump in there? Sometimes people are on your side, but you don't think that they are, because actually you need to earn the stripes. You need to sweat a little bit, and they want to see you sweat before they'll give you the opportunities. Mm-hmm. Lady, is this familiar? You're going, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
does it sound familiar?
I guess I'm a little further along with the company to such an extent that I'm at a different place with the company, and you can see the support, and then you can also see sometimes you wonder, in spite of the work that you've done previously, why people don't have faith in what you're capable of doing. And so that might shake you a little bit, but you always have to remember that what you bring is your perspective. That's the only thing that's going to be different, because no idea is new. There's no new idea. It's about how it's executed. And so I just have to keep reminding myself, well, I don't tell stories like everybody else, and maybe tell yourself things like, nobody's ready for what I have to, you know, like you're just trying to psych yourself up, but it's hard. And I wanted to add that the thing that keeps you going, the reason I always say this to my partners, the problem with us is we want so much out of life. Like, we want our souls to be fed, and so we sacrifice a lot, but after all that hustling and you get on set and you're shooting, you're high, like you're literally high on the process of making images, moving images. It's the most amazing feeling. And so we're always chasing that high, always chasing that high. Sometimes being a business person might stop you from getting there, but you're doing that so that you can be an independent filmmaker. You know, by virtue of being in a small industry, you are an independent filmmaker. Nobody's in Hollywood. So you are doing everything, producing, writing the business plans. You have to get the crew together. Then you're on set directing. Sometimes you're acting. All of it. Yeah. All of it.
Tell us a little bit about your thesis, Frieda.
It's a short film that's loosely based on Winnie Mandela's time spent under house arrest. It was the most amazing thing to shoot. I've never been on a set like that. It was a small crew of like 10. We drove out to Limpopo. We stayed on a mission with like actual monks. We shot around.
Wow.
I set it up so we can shoot in the environment. I shot with Mateo. I don't know if he's a DP of mine. I'm going to hold on to him. I'm never letting go, because just finding somebody you can work with.
And that's
like
the thing
that
about our industry, and I love that. And I hope it's a great point to tick in your box as a successful business person. Once you find that family that click and work and have got the same culture, work
hold
ethic
on.
And vision, hold on.
Yeah.
You know, carry on.
They buy into your idea.
Correct.
That's the thing.
They buy into you, everything.
And so they lift you up. Motel was like my lead actress who I'm enamored with. I had people that were inexperienced. She's fire.
No, her energy.
Yeah. And she never questioned me. She'd never, like, I would just sit there behind the screen, like, I don't know, like, where to tell her to go from here, because she just gave me so much. She's like over there, and I'm trying to catch up with her talent. So it was the most amazing experience.
Yeah, and I'm just listening, fascinated, because you guys are on the same page here, and I'm a little bit of an outsider. Or when I say a little bit, I told you I can only do that board thing. But it's a fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I'm sorry about that.
But you're going to be there on Saturday.
We're going to be there together on Saturday.
Surprise
yes.
us something. Surprise must finish off, and Lordy must finish off. Ask some questions, Gareth.
Well,
wrap it up.
Maybe what we can do, let's wrap it up by speaking to our future CEO's community directly, if that's okay. So you both are in different positions.
Yeah.
Please give us, or give them, and really all of us, your perspective. In your current position where you are surprised, tell us what to expect and what to avoid, maybe. And then the same, Lodi, please, if on your side. Surprise, over to you.
I mean, life's cliches are just that, you know. They only exist because they're true. So just keep pushing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want something, go for it. Like, no matter what, like, don't look around for confirmation. You know what's right inside, you know. You feel it, you know it. And it's when you're not afraid to be yourself that it works out, you know?
Very nice.
Not afraid to make a fool of yourself that it works out, you know? Mm. Just be that. Mm. And they can laugh all they want, you know, but you'll be okay.
Yeah, and yeah. How can you express yourself on film or in any other format yeah. unless you're being uniquely you? Very That's nice.
Authentically you.
Authentically, yeah. yeah.
The term CEO, sometimes people may only think of it in a corporate sense, mm-hmm. but really what it means is you are in control of what it is you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So as an independent filmmaker, you are automatically that. And so people shouldn't remove themselves when they hear that because we're in a creative industry.
Love that.
Business person, think about the future, plan your things, even if it's just that I want to eventually tell the story, you know. Akin Omotoso was talking about Vaya, and he's been on that story for 10 years. You wouldn't know because he's hustling on the side. He's starring in films to make money. He's doing everything he can. So believe in your stories and forgive yourself when you fail. Forgive yourself.
Very nice.
Quickly get up and keep going. Just forgive yourself.
Mm, very nice. Phoebe, you're looking contemplative and grateful.
I love the fact that film can be a medium of social change and social awareness and just bring out the best and the worst of us. But, you know, we die filmmakers. We live and we die and we tell stories.
That's very, very nice. Thank you for joining us. It has been a great pleasure and a fascinating conversation.
It was the best.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
Surprise, you were excellent.
You're excellent. Oh, excellent.
And by the way, this is your first time on radio, right?
Oh, because I've never been. I've always tried to be.
He's got the voice.
He's beautiful.
Very,
he's
very
beautiful.
Good. Look, I don't know if it's going to get better than this. This is a great show to be on. But thank you again for joining us. It's been a great pleasure.
Yeah.
And we will see you guys tomorrow. Or no, rather on Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday. Yeah. All right. We're going to be coming to you after this, speaking about branding and rebranding. Going to be another interesting conversation. We will see you just after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.